אנחנו קוראים קטעים נבחרים מהמקורות בנושא תשעה.
We are reading selected excerpts from the sources on the 9th of Av. You can send questions on Kabbalah TV. Selected questions on the topic will be asked during the lesson. Excerpts on Tisha B'Av, the 9th of the month of Av.
Well, what can I say? You already know everything. What should I repeat myself again? For the audience, or so that it will be inscribed somewhere. The 9th of Av is a very important state, a very emphasized state in the development of creation. It's the shattering of the vessels that we've been learning now in Pticha during these days. And we learn how important this is, that correction cannot occur without shattering. And this is why there was great joy amongst the Kabbalists for the shattering on one hand. On the other hand, of course, they were crying and screaming, and if it was possible to stop the shattering, but it was certain that it couldn't be stopped, but to resist it, nevertheless, we need to a thing at its opposite, as we always have that in spirituality. Two things that are contradicted in one topic. And therefore, on one hand, we also, during these days, need to be sorry for all the disasters that occurred and were caused to us out of the shattering, which is according to the spiritual root, it must be so. And certainly also, Jacob wanted to reveal this to his sons, on one hand. And on the other hand, we also need to be in joy that actually what's interesting and right and good, we're after the shattering, we're after all these things. We, from the times of the Holy Ari onwards, are in the process of correction. And if we don't move from the shattering to the correction, then it's all due to our neglect. This is why, this is what we should be sorrowful about. Not over the ruin of the temple that was, but the ruin of the temple for every day that it's not being constructed, not being built, it's being ruined. And that is the problem. To our point, we here need to truly be in the shattering, in the ruin. Why? We also today are causing the ruin and the shattering. Every day that the temple doesn't rise, it's as if it's being ruined. That's it. That's what we need to be doing our calculations against. And for that, I hope that Dudi will write. And that's what's important. Meaning, not that we're crying for what happened 2,000 years ago. Since if we're crying about what happened 2,000 years ago, it's like we're great righteous and they're the wicked ones who let the temple break and let the Greeks control over them, take control. Today, we're not doing our scrutiny with them. Everything there is actually happening according to the order of the degrees. And what's happening now, nevertheless, after the Ari, where we already have the period of correction and the revelation of the wisdom of Kabbalah, where we're still against the wisdom of Kabbalah as the method of correction, and against the fact that we understand that we need to correct, that is the destruction, the ruin that we should be worried about. That's the problem. It's not that it was, but that every day and every day it is happening in us. Okay, let's read some verses. It's clear, yes? There are no questions. Okay. Yes, Dudi.
Still, we shouldn't feel sorry for anything that happened, right?
We shouldn't be sorry about anything that was. Rabbi Akiva was happy, meaning he cried before that and cried out, "Love thy friend as thyself," where and where. The moment it was done, From that moment onwards, it was joy already.
So what are we talking about? Only about the present and the future? Nothing about the past?
Correct.
Where's the negligence? In what were we negligent?
That is. No, what was were forces from above that were battling with one another, and nevertheless you need to resist the ruin, even though you understand that it has to occur. You must, with that, resist it. How can you come out of holiness? By no means. Even not 1 ounce of holiness, even if I have one drop of spirituality, how can I leave it, go down through the machsom, down to the klipa? Certainly, that's why on one hand he's crying out to hold on as much as possible to love thy friend as thyself. On the other hand, if it already happened, we accept it and understand that it's to our benefit, and it's truly to our benefit. And from that point onwards, we already begin. It's already written about that. Well, the temple is ruined, meaning it rose anew, and we continue. That's it. And that's how it really, they awakened with a new force. Now, we already have to correct it. There are all kinds of stories about this, about him. It ruined.
Where do we get the force of resistance?
Now we need to find the forces from the shattering. But from the shattering, when you come out of that, there's nothing worse than being shattered. And only from that state of being shattered, we can rise to being revitalized. From where do we discover that we're shattered? That's where we try and try, and each time discover that again and again these evil forces are awakening in us greater and greater. Meaning we're discovering the shattering, but mostly we have to discover the shattering by wanting to connect to others. And all of a sudden I discover that I can't. What's happening? I all day long thought, today I'm going to the friends, I'll talk to them, we're going to connect, good and nice. I go to sleep. All of a sudden when I go to sleep, I wake up and say, but where's the gathering of friends? I already forgot about it. Did anyone have such a thing? What, everyone's righteous already? I wanted this so much and all that. That's called the ruin. This is where, in such a way, these shatterings are revealed in us. And also all kinds of other states. That's it. And we need to learn from this.
Where do we get the force of resistance? The shadowing, I understand. It overtakes you, and you break easily. How to resist it?
There is no force of resistance, only through incorporation in the environment. They have the forces. They need to tie me with a rope and drag me. And by that, they are strengthened. Because I here am also the cause for them to connect to save me. So I'm actually a positive factor here. Okay? Well, next. Yes?
Is there any relevance to the audience who is not interested in what happened in 2,000 years ago, and 17 of Tammuz means nothing, and also 9 of Av is nothing?
I don't know what they're depicting to themselves, what they're thinking, or what they're... I think to them it's more connected to the exile, where we were sitting here, everything was nice and good, and afterwards we were thrown from here in all directions. And we went out to exile.
How can we connect a historic thing that happened 2,000 years ago to make it relevant?
since ever since we are intermingled with the nations of the world. We're even succeeding. We're successful in some places. Sometimes it's to the contrary. The nations are doing other calculations with us, and for the time being the hatred towards us is rising in waves. We're right now in a very big wave of like a tsunami that is being revealed of anti-Semitism. We also heard yesterday from our delegation how they discovered this, and this is a great big problem. A big problem in what? The big problem in the fact that we are not correcting the shattering. Not that we're discovering that we're hated. We're hated is the result of our neglect in correction. Yes.
Seemingly the exile is finished.
The exile was finished in force, not in potential, not in actuality. Like Baruch Sulam writes, that there's still people who are thinking how to run away from this land where there's no sanctity in this land. Because what we can establish here is only in our connection. If there's no connection, there's no sanctity.
So again, we talk about getting people to recognize the evil, to understand there's some relevance from the inner shattering, the losing love thy friend as yourself to today, to the state of today. Sad state of today.
Yes, of course, as we are in the rain in short. Okay, good. Continue.
Except number one, from Or Bayir, shattering of the vessel. Shattering of the vessels, a correction that comes, that's preceded by the shattering, in a way that the shattering itself is great correction. And there are those who interpreted that it is corruption in order to correct. Indeed, the language is incorrect, since you should ask, why should he corrupt and then correct? Don't corrupt, and you don't need to correct. The matter is that the correction and the great prophet, the creator, thought about in the beginning of creation, none of it would come to the world except through the corruption of the vessels in this manner. And that all of their correction is means that the matter was clarified from the beginning, that they were never corrupted.
Meaning that which we think of the shattering and the corruption is not the shattering and the corruption, but rather the correction. We just say it like that, seemingly. But it can't be that we say about the shattering that it was the corruption, because nothing was corrected that it was corrupting. Meaning shattering is the shattering of the boundary between the vessels of reception and vessels of bestowal. It's the shattering of the boundary between the creator and the creatures, the qualities of the creator and the qualities of the creature. So how could you say that it's a ruin, a destruction? Therefore, all these things are just corrections. Where does he write about it being just corrections? Do you hear what he's saying? Add to this.
What does it mean that they were never corrupt?
They weren't corrupted. What was corrupted? The will to receive that was given to us was revealed, that it's in order to receive. Why was that revelation a corruption? It was that way also before. It was just disclosed in such a way before the created being. When it's revealed, now the creature can work with it. By that, the creature rises towards the creator.
How do you imagine it?
Like he says that, and if it was revealed, that it's already been so.
So what does it mean that they were never corrupt? A person discovers there was never corruption. He discovered that everything was never corrupted.
What that is each time it's just a revelation of the gap between the creator and the creature that gives us an opportunity to correct, to bring us closer. What does it mean to correct? That now the gap has been revealed, but the gap was there, meaning it's just being disclosed towards the creature. Where now you see. Take your glasses off. What do you see? And then you put your glasses on. Oh, wow, this is not okay, and this is not okay. You were given an opportunity to see and correct. And it's not that now it's been revealed and before it wasn't. It was there, just towards you it wasn't before.
So why is it saying that they were never corrupt?
Yes, because it's not considered corruption at that point. Where I have an opportunity by which I get closer to the Creator. Why do I call that a corruption?
Well, it's a gap between me and the Creator.
Right, it's a gap.
It's not a corruption?
I don't know how to say it. If by this I come to adhesion to the Creator, then why do I call it corruption? Opportunity. I'm happy for the wicked that are revealed. I am thankful for it. Disclose something else to me by which I will be able... I don't call it corruption. By which I will be able to get closer to you. So that you will now see the beautiful meal before you, but you have no appetite. You are not happy that you feel hungry now.
I can understand this explanation. When a person advances towards correction, he has recognition of evil, he ties it to the source.
So that depends on a person, yes?
So I'm asking, can there be a state of corruptions that are really corruptions?
No, there's no such thing. There's no such thing that there's something that you can curse the Creator for. Because what's a corruption? That you receive it. Why did he create it? No? It is always... How should we say it? He always makes the correction before the corruption. That's how it is. It comes down from perfection to you, so that you will raise by it to perfection. Perfection comes down to you, and you feel corruption by it, so that by the corruption, you will hold on to the rope and rise to him to correction, to perfection.
And if I didn't take the rope, I disregarded it, is that a corruption?
That's your problem, but it's not the Creator that's giving you the corruption. He's giving you an opportunity to come to his perfection.
So how was it revealed from the outset that they were never corrupt? If I look at all those opportunities in which I disregarded the opportunities, as they said every day, they didn't build a temple, the temple was ruined. How can you say about those opportunities that we disregarded, that they're not corruptions?
Because that's a corruption in you, not from above, that you're not paying attention, that you're not using all the means that he placed before you.
So it is a corruption.
In you?
In me?
Yes, but it's not that the Creator prepared that corruption for you. You're just not using correctly what he did for you.
And then what should be my attitude towards those corruptions that I discover in me?
Use them as means for correction, to rise up. Well, let's continue and then you'll understand more. I understand where you're asking, but it's not... These are claims of children. Yes, Bushi.
Can we say that the ruin, the destruction, signifies the mixing of Bina and Malchut or bestowal and reception?
Correct, yes.
But why were there two destructions?
It's just like here, two parts of him.
Like we learned.
Yes, Dalet Gimel, Gimel Bet, the two temples. The first is for Mochin of Chaya, and the second for Mochin of Neshama. That's why the first one was much greater, its ruin, much more meaningful. But the second was more meaningful because it's the complete emergence out of sanctity.
simply two languages that describe the same phenomenon. This is in the language of Kabbalah, all the shattering, as the Ari explains about Baal Sulam. And this is...
There was a Paltzuf, all the desires were connected together. And with the intention to the Creator, in order to bring contentment to the Creator, on the degree of Mochin of Chaya, it was called the first temple. And they were in struggles between them and each with himself in order to remain in this and not fall. But each and each with the others battled. The ego was constantly growing and rising and rising. It is for sure that there has to be a shattering, but they didn't want, they resisted it. And it shattered. And all those external forms, exile, meaning a cessation between degree and degree. The Paltzuf purifies, it comes for the next time, meaning they go out to exile, they come back from an action that is called the new expansion, like Ab and Sag. The second Patsuf, which is the second temple, which is Sag of Ak, or don't say Sag, but the kings of Tanhim, the kings of Dachad is the first temple, and the kings of Tanhim are the second temple. And it also shatters. But this time, it's final. Everything shatters in such a way that everyone went out to in order to receive. Since then, all of them, except for Kabbalists here and there, all the rest, all the nation, and goes into a state of descent and descent and a prolonged descent. That's called the deterioration of the generations. Because nevertheless, you cannot compare those generations that were after the ruin or the destruction of the second temple, the first to the second, or after the second when they went out to exile. Nevertheless, these were people not like us. They were much more connected. Sanctity still shone on them from afar. The partsuf that rises from Tabu to Pe, there's still zivugim, there's still illuminations from those zivugim of Nekudot, from the previous partsuf that was called the Holy Temple. The sparks fall and the Patsufim of Nekudot emerge. And you could still see how they were great people even after the ruin of the Second Temple. What books they wrote, how they composed the Mishnah, the Gemara, all the addendums that went to that. And these are books that many people were in the awareness and recognition of godliness. It's not that it happens immediately. It's the departure of the mochin, the lights out of the partsuf. Just like the purification of the masach. It's the same thing. So until we came to a state in which it was truly almost complete darkness, the days of the Ari, and also after that, it continues. But from the awakening from below, through the work of Baal Shem Tov and Baal Sulam, and all those people that were from Baal Shem Tov until Baal Sulam and Rav Kook, which were truly still, well, there was already an awakening from below that started from Baal Shem Tov onwards. And in our times, that's it. Rabash was the last one. And look at what he wrote, how much he left us. The whole method of correction that we are nourished from him. Yes.
What can we learn? What can a Kabbalist learn from knowing the first and second shattering? Can he learn how to act in our world?
It's the purification of the Partsufim. The first Partsuf on the Mochin of Chaya, like Ab, And the second partsuf on the Mochin of Neshama, Leksag.
I understand it's a mixture of Israel and the nations of the world, quality of bestowal and reception.
Yes, the qualities of reception that also came from Israel, from the multitude of masses that mingled with Israel, with the Yashar Kel.
What's
it's
the difference?
Not the nations of the world. We didn't have a war with the nations of the world. All those Romans and the Greeks were the Jews themselves. The so-called good Jews or nice Jews, the good Jews.
For a question, you said the generation where the temple was ruined, you said they were at a high level, but the hatred was such that they were like children in comparison.
Today we don't have hatred because you don't have sanctity. If you don't have light, you don't love nor hate. It's this against that. Do you understand? You have problems with someone that lives here on your adjacent road? No. A street here next to you? No. But if he's your neighbor, you already have a problem with him. It's sanctity against Klipa.
Yeah, what can we learn? That we were in certain aviut?
That we need to know how to get closer to one another.
The hate between us
in
and
a gentle
people of
way to proceed
can it
the
be
correction?
More than what it was back then? Because the from history we know what kind of hatred was there.
Today we can reveal the hatred between us. How much it will be revealed, I don't know, because everyone is already in the end of the way. Now it's just to discover. There's almost no hatred between us. We're in a disconnect from it, between us. It's like your neighbor on the other side of the city. What is he? How's he your neighbor? But the neighbor that lives next door to you, or even closer, that's already a problem. So today we are disconnected from one another. And we need. And that's good, because the shattering is already done, and it distanced us from one another to the extent in which we're all foreigners to each other, strangers. You see how the Jews are spreading all over the world. They don't even want to be connected to one another. They want to be immersed amongst the Gentiles, the nations of the world, just so they will be diluted within them, and they don't want anything but that. Meaning we need to discover now the necessity for connection, as there's no choice. Otherwise, we will come to a connection between us through the hatred of the nations of the world, as they will hate us to the extent in which we will have to connect. And if not, then they will bring us together to the camp. They will bring us to such camps where we will be concentrated. If we want to distance from one another. And then we will learn, in a harsh way, what to do. What we need to do. Yes.
For the sake of explanation, if I remember correctly, in the first temple, the hatred was only between the sages. The general public barely had any hate. The second temple, the hatred reached the people. And can we say that here, the hate, because of the integration of nations of the world in Israel, the hatred will come from the nations of the world, and then the third temple will be built, or is it incorrect?
Here it is now not hatred. Like Baal HaSulam says, we are like in a sack of nuts, where we don't want to get closer to one another, nor to be in connection with one another. But what's happening is that the upper providence, through the nations of the world, obligates us to get closer. Meaning the nations of the world are doing simple work. They will obligate us to be together. From their hatred, it's like they, for the time being, with force, concentrating us together, pointing to us and saying, that's the cause for all the bad in the world. So they are already making from us a certain group, a defined group, as if we are in one place, as if. That's now, with force. What will happen here, of course, if we don't do what's upon us to do, they will do it in practice. This action is called that they are concentrating us in concentration camps physically. Why? Because then in such a way they feel that by that they're doing an act of correction, and that from that state seemingly they demand to have correction upon them. If it's not in a positive way, then in a negative way, but for them to have correction. If I can't do something beneficial to me, then I destroy it. Very simply. This is why these actions are truly standing before us, and if we don't do what's upon us to do, I'm specifically talking about Bnei Baruch, as if we don't start working in practice in a serious and quick way, connect between us more and decide, define our going out to explain to all the nations of the world, first to Israel and then to the nations, this is what awaits us. I can give you a picture that is being clearer from day to day. That which we were afraid to talk about, now we can talk about. But that's what's on the chapter here. And Israel has a double problem. Because except for the hatred that they have from the nations, we have hatred from the Jews that are in the diaspora. Because they think that we are the source of their problem. That if we won't exist, it'll be quiet for them back there and nice. That's it. I am waiting for them to open funds of who wants to leave Israel. They say, we call it going down from Israel. Who wants to leave Israel? We're going to wait and we're arranging it and everything. Billions, they will invest in this just for us to leave and disperse all over the world. All over the world. They will pay all kinds of countries kind of silently under the table just to receive us, and that's it. Just so we don't stay here. Because for them, this is truly, it's kind of like poking them. This is what will happen. And other phenomena. And in truth, if you see how much the whole world hates you, for you this is a rational act. What do you have by being here? Nothing. You're Jews. You know how to get along wherever you are, in all kinds of places and states. Please go. Each will get there some, I don't know, $500,000. And go. Buy a house there. Get along. The communities will receive you. And that's it. There's countries that will receive you. Please, go ahead. Everyone will leave. Everyone. You will see how that operates. Yes.
How to turn the complaint to the Creator of why aren't you awakening the people of Israel to a prayer to the Creator, why aren't you awakening the people of Israel?
How to move?
How to turn the complaint to the Creator, why aren't you awakening the people of Israel, to a prayer to the Creator, why aren't you awakening the people of Israel?
I don't look at that. I don't turn to Him for this or for that. I turn to Him so that He gives me the forces and the mind to do what I have to do, what I need to do. That's it. And for His work, that He does it this way or that way, I don't at all touch that. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to. Why would I criticize such a thing? How are you like this and how are you like that? First of all, who is what and who is you? It's a law of nature. It's a law of nature that cannot be breached. What, can you break the law? Can you tell Earth, why are you attracting me? Why are you gravitating? Why is your gravity pulling you down from the tree or from the house, from the roof? How can you turn to him and say such a thing? The fact that you discover a lack to receive the force of bestowal, that's different, because that lack you're creating with your friends, you're producing it, and you're turning to the force of bestowal that exists in nature. The extent in which you're missing it, in that you can draw it, like a minus that pulls the plus, or a plus the minus. But the rest of the complaints are what? Are you making a person out of him? The fact that Torah speaks in the language of people, that we turn in such a way and think that by our address we, as if a way for there to be nicer to us or better for us, it won't be. It's through addressing him, you, that's called to prayer. You judge yourself, and therefore you change, and therefore the Creator, seemingly this absolute, changes towards you. It's because you're changing, and you feel that seemingly his influence upon you changes. Yes.
Yesterday, well, the friends did that were in Oxford, I'm sure also for the friends in the world, there was a great emotional intensity. And if we could pass it to the people of Israel a little bit, of course it would change and the ear would open.
Let's hope that they will do it. Senka started doing a movie out of that. Eli's going to write a few articles. Dudi will write a few articles from this. As much as we can, we need to advertise this in all the instruments. Even to buy spots on the internet or even on printed newspapers. As much as possible, if something will come out of this, that it's worthwhile.
Yes. When I'm, I don't know, according to my feeling, when I'm coming closer to friends, I'm asking the Creator to give him the strength to be connected as one man, one heart. I want to have this a strength with this, of the same intensity to ask for the people of Israel. So again, I'm asking, is it the same? Give my friends the strength. We want the people of Israel to hear, to open their ears.
Yes, you can pray for that. Yes, but it's not that it seems to you like you're turning to the Creator, you're turning to yourself. But in truth, we need to try. And also, we need to search, do the, as they certainly were throughout history, such writings from the Kabbalists, in which they warned the people, look at what could happen, and what's coming up, and what could occur. Let's be careful, let's connect, let's, and so forth. They were such thing. And you hear, see? Look for such places. It's worthwhile to renew those sources and to bring them to, because that's from the great Kabbalists from the past who addressed it in such a way and operated. It's worthwhile doing this. We're in a very critical time, very special time. I hope that you will understand this, and we're also learning this from the state of the shattering. And with this, sir,
we will conclude today at 6:45 p.m. Israel time. We're inviting our friends from the world Kli to connect to the world gathering of friends, Shivat Chavarim, today at 6:45 p.m. to 7:30. Thank you to our TV viewers and a good day. New courses.
Wait, what about the fast? Are we not saying that today is a fast?
Today is the fast of the 17th of Tammuz, Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. New courses in Kabbalah Lam campus. Introductory lectures will take place in Tel Aviv, July 23rd, Haifa, Netanya, Petach Tikva, Rishon LeZion, and July 24th, and on in Shoham on Thursday, July 25th. For details, 1-700-509-209. From Unity to One, Kabbalah Lam Congress in Moldova. We're inviting everyone to the Congress in Chisinev in Moldova, September 6th through 8th. For details and registration, kabbalah.info/convention. Song.